Blog Talk Radio.
To Get Focused Radio. Please stay with us for the next hour and let us inspire you and help you refocus when life gets in the way. That beautiful song is by the duet Beckon, and you can find out more about them at www.getfocusedradio.com. Each week I'm going to try and bring you guests that have overcome challenges, guests who will inspire you, and guests who are willing to share the tools and techniques that they've learned and will perhaps help you create a more fulfilled and happy life. So please feel free to connect with me after the show at askkatehennessy@getfocusedradio.com. I would love to have emails from you and let me know what you'd like to talk about for future shows. Today, we have a really special show planned for you. It's a real girl show, but you know what? I hope the guys are going to listen too because you'll learn a whole lot more about us. Our special guest today is the very ageless Leslie Trail. Leslie Trail is founder of Sexy Over 60. She's a pioneer in the field of life coaching and personal empowerment. In fact, she began her coaching career back in 1977, before there were even training courses available. Sexy Over 60 is a boutique life coaching agency with a mandate to empower women to meet the challenges of their mid-40s, 50s, 60s, and beyond. She is a sought-after speaker, certified neuro-linguistic programming practitioner, coach, and counselor. Her background includes professional experience in law and the fashion industry, and she's going to share with us today her lifelong study of mindfulness meditation. This show is for all women, no matter what age you are definitely going to learn something today. Thank you so much, Leslie. Thanks for coming on. Hello,
hi,
welcome.
How are you this morning?
We are great. Our switchboard is lit up like a Christmas tree, so I know that this is a topic that's very close to everybody with regard to women, aging, the whole process of it, perimenopause. Ah, that's scary. Menopause, again, scary. Not so scary for you, my friend.
Pardon me?
Not so scary for you.
No.
You're not afraid of this at all.
No, I'm not afraid of it. Well, first of all, I'm past it. I've been there and
sure
I've done it.
How old you are?
I've gone through the fire.
and lived to tell the story.
Literally through the fire and come out the other side. And I talk about the fire, the flashes. I really feel that we have to have a great sense of humor about what goes on in our life. And I think that the key for any woman entering into the perimenopause, menopause stage is to really have that sense of humor, because as you start to see your body change and as you go through your mood swings and that little bit of what I call sometimers, you have a tendency to think that or feel that you're losing grip, and the modalities and the techniques that I used through my journey really have brought me out to the other side, where it's 64 years old. People don't even realize how old I am. They take me for somebody in my late 40s to early 50s, and it really is as a result of the lifestyle that I have developed for myself by changing my mind. I changed my body and I changed my life.
Can you just let our listeners know your website? Because I'd really like them to go and have a look. These are recent photos of you. This is you at 64.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So what is your website? Just so they can go and have a peek, so they get a kind of a face to who's speaking.
It's called Sexy Over 60, and it's 60 spelled out, SIXTY.com.
Okay. Go there. I'm not going to say it's hard to believe that you look that amazing at 64. My personal feeling is that we can all look amazing, but there is a lot of things that we kind of have to get ourselves around, as you and I spoke briefly about, I think mentally, as we, I think probably by the time you're over 50, I don't know so much at 45, is that like a crucial, oh my gosh, age? It wasn't for me.
It was for me. It was for me. And the more women that I speak to, I'm finding that it's hitting them between 45 and 48. I actually have a client that I'm coaching right now. She's 38, and she's in perimenopause. So perimenopause can start as early as between 35 to 40, right up to 45, and then we start getting into menopause. And full-blown menopause is when you actually don't have a period anymore, and then your body is going through all those huge hormonal changes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And did you find, give us a little background of your journey through that.
Well, this is how it all happened for me. I believe that, and I haven't written about this on any of my blogs yet, but I believe that I was started to go through perimenopause at 35, but I also suffered a great deal from PMS. PMS to me was, my life was a bit of a nightmare in that I would have three horrible weeks and one good week a month. That's how my life was. And they say women who suffer from PMS, very, very extreme PMS, tend to have more difficulty in menopause than women who don't. So going out of PMS and into menopause was just about the same for me. It just seemed to just be a continuation. And I'd have to say about the defining moment was about the age of 45, and I really literally woke up one morning and took a look in the mirror and I thought, who is this? Like, this individual staring back at me is not who I am. I had put on about 30 to 35 pounds at the time. I was in the fashion industry, and I was moving very quickly around doing things. And it just was doing coaching on the side and always doing my coaching. But I had lost track of myself, and I wasn't aware of what was really happening. I hadn't been exercising. I just wasn't aware of what was really going on with my body. And the wake-up call was the fact that I just was starting to lose myself. And I decided at that moment that I had to reclaim my body, I had to reclaim my mind, and I had to reclaim my life, because it seemed to be spiraling. And the menopause, or what I thought was just weight gain, which turned out to be menopause, was taking its toll on me. So I did whatever I could to be able to go out there and to research. And I've always been into holistic things. Mm-hmm. So I went the holistic route and started researching, although a lot of my friends and colleagues were on hormone replacement therapy, which is different than the bioidenticals. It was the mainstream hormone replacement where they give you all this estrogen, and it wasn't necessarily the most healthy way, for me anyway. And I can only speak to myself. I can only speak about myself on that level, because I believe that everybody is entitled to make the decisions that work the best for them.
Absolutely.
You agree, right?
Yeah.
So I decided to go the more natural route, and that was to continue with my meditation, and I was able to devise a program for myself through all the experience that I had with my meditation, to put together a menopause meditation, which was very, very functional for me, and it was very good for me. I also, at that point, got into exercise. I'd been an athlete when I was a teenager, but got away from it. So I joined a gym, and I found a personal trainer, and I really got on the road to helping to reshape my body. And I started eating clean at that point. So I started cutting out a lot of the foods that would spike my flashes, that would spike my hormones going into rages. The other thing that I also did is I also talked about it. And, you know, I'm going back a number of years. Don't forget, I'm 64, all right?
Right.
When I was 45 20 years ago. I'm going to be 65 January. So I'm going back 20 years. Women didn't sit around and talk like we're having a conversation now.
No.
I'm on the upper end of the baby boomers, you know, and everything was hush-hush. And I remember going over to my mother's house, and I'd start to sweat, and she'd start to make fun of me, because that's what she was used to. She wasn't used to collaborating with another woman and saying, gee, is there anything I can do to help you, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it was always something that was hidden, and we didn't talk about it, and women would pretend it wasn't happening to them. So full-fledged flash, you know, standing, because I was a keynote speaker as well, standing in front of a bunch of women, giving a talk of 150, 200 women, breaking out into a sweat. You can't hide that.
I hear you, sister. It's happened many times to me. And it's horrible. You literally can't stop the sweat from running down your face or glisten,
Right. Well, now it happens to me because my metabolism is running so high because of the way I eat and the way that I exercise. So I have the same thing, but at least it's not the menopause. It's something else. So, you know, when you're sitting with a bunch of girlfriends and they're all sweating and they're all complaining that it's too hot in the restaurant and everybody's in denial, that's what I was living through. So there was really nobody to talk to.
Right.
The only doctor.
Well, I think back, you know, back in the day, let's say.
Yeah.
You know, when our moms were going through it, and then you were going through it, I've been going through it. What we did was, I think everyone just kind of went, well, she's middle-aged now, and
right.
Women accepted that, and we just kind of sat back and said, well, I accept this roll around my belly.
Right.
I accept these flashes because now I'm going into this other part of my life. That's how the doctors would say.
Mm-hmm.
You're going into this other wonderful part of your life. And basically what they were saying was, you're going to get fat, you're going to have flashes, you're not going to feel sexual anymore, accept it. What's changed is we're saying, but we don't accept that.
Right.
Right.
And the reason being is that we are the baby boomer generation.
Mm-hmm.
And the baby boomer generation has forged through every obstacle. We have changed the way that people see everything from music to fashion. And this is the generation that is in menopause now. And that's why it's becoming something that people are talking about. People are blogging about it. It is becoming more and more mainstream for women to be able to share this period of their life and feel empowered by the changes.
Mm-hmm.
Because here's what's happening, really, is that you're not going into middle age. You're coming of wisdom. You're coming of age into wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
And wisdom doesn't have to be a little old lady with gray hair, you know, sitting in a rocking chair.
Absolutely
wisdom,
not.
Right? Wisdom
mm-hmm.
is a woman who's
mm-hmm.
out there making a difference, talking to people, empowering people with their own stories, and being vital and youthful. And there is no reason for a woman to give or to succumb to the changes that are going on within their bodies or their minds.
Absolutely. And we're not talking about fighting getting older. There is no fight or battle. It's a given. You are going to get older.
Mm-hmm.
Things are going to change.
Mm-hmm.
You can go and do maintenance, as I like to call it, and
mm-hmm.
and whatever your maintenance is, whether it's Botox or a little thing here, a little thing there,
mm-hmm.
nothing wrong with that if you're okay
mm-hmm.
with it.
Mm-hmm.
We are not fighting what is the inevitable, but I think what we're doing is we're going into this battle being armed with you know, brighter minds, as you say. You know, so our mental capacity is so much different than our moms were, where they just said, I'm an old lady now.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't feel like an old lady, don't become one.
Absolutely.
And what I love is so many women want to talk to us, and I would love, do you mind, Leslie, if I take a caller?
I'd love you to take a caller.
Okay. Now, I'm not sure who this is. Who's on the line, please?
Hi, it's Ann in San Miguel de Allende, Mexico.
Oh, Ann, is that you? Ann.
Ann, yes. I'm from Minneapolis, but I live down here now.
Wonderful. Thanks for calling in, Ann. So what do you think about all this?
Well, first of all, I'm so thrilled to be talking with Leslie and with you, Kate, as well. You role model both of you, and that I really appreciate you. I just turned 50.
Mm-hmm.
And as I say in a recent column in agingbodies.com, it was like someone threw a switch.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I've noticed the tight waistband and a little bit of moodiness. And I'm so in agreement with you, Leslie, that a sense of humor is like the greatest vitamin.
Yeah.
Well,
you have to, or else you'll be
taking a rope and looking for a beam. So we have to laugh,
or else throw yourself under the bus.
Well, my secret, if I have one, is I've got not only do I pay a lot of attention to the sleeping, eating, exercise, you know, routine.
Mm-hmm.
Haven't gotten into the supplements yet, but I am partnered up these days with a much younger man, and I'm telling you, that guy is incredible, and it makes all the difference in the world.
Woo-hoo! Let me tell you, I married a much younger man, and that really does make a difference.
How old is he?
Well, I'm 50, he's 37.
Well, you know what, I'm hearing this more and more. I mean, that's one of the things I'm going to be doing in the next couple of weeks. I'm going to be writing some blogs on that because I'm telling you something. This is a trend that's happening. I have more girlfriends and more clients that are connecting with younger men, sometimes 18, 19 years difference.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you see, these younger men are seeing the wisdom and they're seeing the experience and they want to attach to it, whereas the older men are wanting to attach to a younger woman because they're looking for their youth.
Absolutely. And, listen, thank you, darling, for calling. I've got so many callers. Is there anything else that you'd just like to say to Leslie? I'm going to put you on mute and you can listen to the rest of the show.
Thank you, but only that I'm going to be a new subscriber to your blog, Leslie, and I really appreciate you as a role model, and your sexy over 60 message is so needed. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Anne. Thanks so much. Now, on that note, Leslie, I have an email. So just because we're kind of talking about, you know, men and women and what they think with regards to age and whatnot, I have to read this to you. This is a lady from Alexandra, VA, and she couldn't call in today, but she did send this email. And I'm just going to read you parts of it, okay?
Okay.
So she said, although I'd love to participate during the radio broadcast, I have a lunch date at that time, a first meeting with a person from an online dating site. She says, I love this time of my life. However, it did not start off so well. I had to retire at age 50 when I became ill. It took several years to get to feeling better, and then at 56, I had pneumonia twice in 1 year, which left me a bit weaker. I am now 61 years old, and I've never been married. However, in the last year especially, I've had a very social, active dating again after a long drought. I do have one funny anecdote, though. A gentleman, well, maybe I am being generous here, contacted me through an online dating site. He was 52. He expressed surprise that I looked so good at my age, and he went on to state that he would consider dating me, although he was doubtful that my stamina might be an issue compared to a woman in her 40s or 50s. I responded that while he unfortunately would never find out the truth from me, that eschewing women my age as potential sexual partners would cause him to miss out on some damn fine sex. That is from Marsha. Well, Marsha. I love that. So how about that? Poo to you there, Mr. 52. You lost out on someone that probably was absolutely awesome.
Absolutely. Well, I have a funny little story to add to that, which my media gal and I had a good laugh about the other day. There's been a 19-year-old who's been trying to connect with me through my
body.
I swear to goodness.
Oh, I know. I think that goes a little bit
it's
beyond. What
is
it they call us? Cougar. I hate that. I have Sid on the line from Phoenix, Arizona. Sid?
Hi. How are you?
We're good. How are you?
I'm great.
Yeah, how old are you, Sid?
56, and I'm getting ready to climb the Swiss Alps in September.
Stop it. You're climbing the Swiss Alps in September.
Yes, and age 50, I climbed to the top of Mount Kilimanjaro with five other women that were over 50.
That's awesome.
How about that, Leslie?
That's awesome.
That's what we're talking about.
Yeah, that's absolutely awesome. Good for
you. If you're doing that now at 56...
Yes,
you're
56.
Going to be doing even more at 66.
Well, I think so.
Yeah.
I started out as an elementary school principal, and I would watch my kids run around like crazy people. And really, I just started exercising at about age 40.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I just, you know, got that energy. And then I just finished a book that really helped me kind of finalize everything. I wrote a book about energy called All Day Energy. So writing that book taught me a lot about, you know, being healthy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And
so,
are you in perimenopausal, menopausal?
I am
now?
All done. And the
You're
whole
done.
Process was a breeze. I mean,
really?
Really, literally, I had
Did
just
you
a couple
go the
of,
way Leslie did? All natural?
Totally. I didn't do anything. I just ate really. I really think for some women, I was really lucky. I think it's my mom passed on some really good genetics. But I think the combination of eating really well and doing moderate exercise every day really helped me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I started out every morning with a great exercise routine, and I think that really was the secret. And I still do that. It's become a habit.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, that's great. That's great.
Well, thank you for calling in. So appreciate that. Stay tuned for the rest of the show.
Thank you. I will.
Thank you. Thanks, Ed. So Leslie, tell us a little bit more with regards to, I'm interested in the foods, because that seems to be very paramount with women, especially with the gut that we seem to get around this time. Mm-hmm. And I've heard women say, I cannot get rid of it. No matter what I do, I exercise, I do. So I think food has a lot to do with it.
Food does too, but I'd like to add something to that, and I'll talk about food. But I'd also like to add to it, because our bodies are going through hormonal changes, our bodies are being put into a state of stress, which raises our cortisol, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we're producing more cortisol. When you produce more cortisol, then you tend to put on more weight in the midsection, all right?
Okay. Yeah.
Meditation, all right, is key for bringing down stress, which in turn will help to balance off the cortisol, all right?
Mm-hmm.
So the combination for me, it's not just about the food. It's obviously exercise and meditation, but the food, it's really, really important. And you can hear this over and over again. I don't think people can hear it too many times.
Mm-hmm.
5 to 6 small meals a day, eating foods that are whole foods, staying away from the sugars, staying away from the heavy starches, the white starches, limiting your complex carbohydrates after 12 o'clock. So in other words, if you're going to have oatmeal or you're going to have a whole grain toast or anything like that, have anything like that before 12 o'clock, because your body is going to burn it off more before 12 than it will after 12 o'clock, particularly if you exercise in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
The key really is to stay away from the bad fats, eat good fats. There's certain fruits and vegetables that are really, really good for helping with that midsection. Grapefruit. Grapefruit is a great fat burner.
Okay.
So it really helps. So if you can eat a half to a whole grapefruit a day, you're going to start to find, number one, your digestion is going to improve, which also is affected by menopause. You find that you can get constipated more often.
Mm-hmm.
So the grapefruit will help the digestion. It helps to burn fat. Vegetables like broccoli is a great vegetable for increasing your sex drive. So if you're having problems with that during the menopausal years, eating broccoli is a great food to eat. The other thing that's really, really good is I always teach my clients to substitute foods. So if I have a client that's used to, let's say, using mayonnaise, all right, well, let's substitute with that with mustard, all right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's all about using research, perhaps working with a coach, helping to readjust your life with respect to your food choices. And it's all about choice.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about choice. I mean, you can choose to eat a white potato or you can choose to eat a sweet potato. What's the difference? The difference is one's got more iron.
Mm-hmm.
One has got a lot of empty calories, meaning the white potato. The sweet potato actually also has protein.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that's really important to do is to have a protein with every single meal. So a protein meaning a little bit of yogurt, maybe some cottage cheese, some tuna,
yeah,
fish, salmon, a handful of not more than 10 almonds. Throw that into your salad. That can be your protein in your salad. So it's really important to have a small amount of protein at every single meal. And if you can get a handle on eating and really not allow yourself to buy into those cravings, because, again, the menopausal years, we tend to crave foods that we wouldn't normally crave.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that's really important is alcohol. I don't know if
Leslie,
any...
I crave alcohol.
Yes, all right.
I
well,
do.
Okay.
My wine.
And, yeah, well, we all have this thing for wine. I mean, we ladies, we associate wine. It's all about association, too. We associate wine with relaxation.
Mm-hmm.
We associate wine with great conversation with girlfriends or sitting over a nice romantic dinner. All those things are associated with wine. I'm not saying don't drink wine, but I'm also saying for women who are really in menopause and having the hot flashes,
mm-hmm,
watch.
Mm-hmm.
See how your flashes just go berserk when you drink wine.
Yeah.
Your body heat just rises like crazy. And, you know, it becomes something that if you can scale it down and only have a glass of wine or two on the weekends, you'll find that your whole moods, your moods will change, your moods will be more positive, and you won't have the same flashes. And also, again, with respect to the weight in the belly area, wine is sugar. So
mm-hmm,
it's going to accumulate, and it's going to accumulate,
yeah,
in the area it's the most susceptible right now, which is the belly.
Yeah. Now, as far as exercise goes, I know that a lot of women will do their due diligence and they will truly go to the gym two or three times a week and do their walk and whatnot, and they will say, nothing is happening, I'm not losing weight. And what I've generally said to them is, well, what is your program? Oh, you're running, you're this and that. They don't use weights.
No. They have to use weights.
Wait.
The weight-bearing exercise is the biggest thing. And, again, you don't have to be a bodybuilder. You're not going to bulk up. So many women, you hear it over and over again, are concerned about bulking up. They're not going to bulk up. What weights do is it builds more lean muscle. Lean muscle burns fat.
Mm-hmm.
So if you build more lean muscle, then you're going to burn the fat. A lot of women are intimidated by going to the gym, too, and I get that. I remember when I first started going to the gym, I hid my body. I wore these great big, bulky, big track pants that I borrowed from a friend of mine who was a soccer player, and he was, you know, he was a big guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to hide everything. And I remember walking into the gym, and I was a little bit intimidated because I had never been in a gym before. And I took a look at this one woman, and I thought, oh, that's what I'm going to look like. That's what my role model is, and that's what I'm going to look like. That was me, and I became very comfortable in the gym environment, found a trainer. Now, women who don't feel comfortable in a gym environment, I understand that completely, and I have clients that I work with on that level. And I work over the phone, so you don't have to have me in front of you to help put together a program. I've put together, actually, one of my clients in Seattle, she's already dropped a total of 6 inches in 4 weeks. I put her on an exercise program, an eating program, and the weight and the she's in menopause. The weight and the inches are starting to come off very quickly. But
now, do you Skype with her? Like, how do you mentor her?
Well, with her, we do it over the phone.
Yeah.
But I can Skype if people prefer to have the face on face, then we can Skype. Yeah. But with most of my clients, we just do it over the telephone.
Yeah.
But there are women who won't go into a gym. And for those women, I put together a program of almost a calisthenics where they're doing some jumping jacks, where they're doing some deep knee squats without weights, all right, initially, just to get the feeling of it, because the weight is your body weight. So if you are moving your body, you're actually moving. If you're doing, let's say, a deep knee squat and you're actually moving your body up and down and you do 20 reps of those and you wait 10 seconds and you do another 20 reps, you're, in fact, really moving your quads.
Yeah.
And you're really getting a really, really good workout initially until you build up to the weights. So there's so many things that women can do at home. They can buy themselves some light weights, and they can do some little exercises, bicep curls, tricep curls, some flies. But they can also use soup cans.
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
soup cans, they don't weigh that much, but they can start off with that. Because a lot of women don't want to go to the gym, but they need to start doing that weight-bearing exercise. They really do.
Absolutely. I have ankle weights by the side of my bed.
Mm-hmm.
And when I get up in the morning, I put my socks on because my feet are always cold. And I put my ankle weights on.
Yeah.
And I have lots of stairs in my house.
Yeah.
So I wear them all day, up and down, back and forth, around, doing the laundry, up and down, back into the studio, whatever it is I'm doing. Because I do sit a lot sometimes during the day, but I have those on at all times. And what I find is that even if I'm sitting, as I am right now, I will be sitting on my chair doing little leg ups with my ankle weights on.
That's
you
a
just
great
do,
idea.
Right?
That's a great tip. I'm going to use that. That's a fabulous tip. I'm going to use that tip.
Put your ankle weights on as soon as you get up in the morning. And then you get used to it. You don't even know they're there. And you will exercise. It's a weird thing. You'll sit at a chair and you'll just start to do little leg lifts because, well, it feels good. Other thing that I also tell women is, don't tell me you don't have time.
Mm-hmm.
If you brush your teeth every day, imagine, would you leave the house without brushing your teeth? Absolutely not. Exercise has to become a part of your life.
Mm-hmm.
20 minutes. You have 20 minutes.
Yeah, what I do is I work with my clients and I help them to build a schedule. And in that schedule, we put in exercise. And once it's on paper and once it becomes a time period, because if you don't slot out a particular time period to do things for yourself, you're not going to end up doing them. So I'm a real, real believer in scheduling your day. Right. And doing it the week, doing it a week before, or having a schedule for a month, seeing how that works, and then readjusting it. And that's one of the programs that this woman that I was working with, who's lost this much weight and these inches, we put her on a program because she was very busy, but she was scattered. And now that she knows exactly when she's going to the gym, she knows exactly what time of day she's eating. All of these things just fit into place. And you might say, well, that's extreme. Well, you know what? Most people love ritual. Yeah. Ritual is a really important thing for us human beings. We need to feel that our life has a purpose and has a meaning. And it's so important when women are going through these years of their life where they're feeling scattered and they're feeling pulled. And a lot of them are in the sandwich generation where they have children that are going off to university, and then they have parents that are elderly. It's a really, really challenging time. So if you can't schedule in that time for yourself, then it's not going to happen.
Right.
As much
right.
as you want it to, it's not going to happen unless that is a conscious decision to do it.
The me time, yeah. We've got, I think it's Janet from Dallas, Texas.
Yes, hello.
Hi, Janet, how are you?
I'm good, how are you?
I'm great. And how old are you?
I am 60.
You are a young 60.
I am a young 60.
Tell us. Do you have something to you want to chat about with Leslie?
Well, you know, you were talking about menopause. I'm one of the women who has chosen not to do anything.
Okay.
And mainly because I truly hate to take anything.
Mm-hmm.
My opinion is, you take one thing, and it, you know, it's kind of like changing the oil in your car to a different kind of oil. You have to change three other things. I think medicine or hormones or anything is like, you know, it's a blunt instrument. And my mother died of breast cancer, so I pretty well just said, you know, I'm just not going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And also, about 15 years ago, someone said medicating menopause would be like medicating puberty. You just wouldn't do it. You know, this is a part of life, and you just deal with it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I had my first hot flash at 49, so I've been doing this almost 11 years.
And how do you, okay, so if you're not using anything, do you use any kind of holistic approach, or
no.
You, like, how are you getting through, or is it very easy for you?
Well, you know, it's kind of interesting. I think easy is relative to to everyone. You know, I will be sitting talking to somebody and break out in a sweat and have it roll down my face. What I do is I don't attach anxiety to the situation.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that a lot of times women get in trouble because they go, oh, my God, I'm having a hot flash. I'm going to die here. And maybe internally I'm saying that, but I just kind of calm down and say, you know, this is going to pass.
Mm-hmm.
Get under a fan, you know, throw the covers off at night.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just deal with every little thing. And no one ever died of a hot flash.
No.
I mean,
no one is
going to die of this.
Right. And
I
do your opinion
exercise,
too, Leslie. Is that what you think?
Pardon me?
I'm sorry, what?
Is that part of what you think? Like, kind of, you know,
oh, absolutely. It's a
embrace
blip in the road.
It?
It's a blip in the road. It really just is a blip in the road. And it's just, it's really a time to reconnect with yourself and to reclaim your body. It's a time to do some work on yourself and to not medicate yourself. And I agree with that. I believe that that we should take charge of our lives without medication and allow ourselves to experience, but also for everybody it's different. Everybody has to go their own route. Again, I'm a strong believer in exercise, meditation, eating properly, and I do to take really, really good supplements. Not medications, but supplements that I feel are very, very important. There's a supplement called Resveratrol that I take, and
okay, I'm just going to say goodbye to Janet because I want to talk about the supplements.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Janet.
Thank you, Janet. Bye-bye.
Okay, let's go into some supplement therapy here that we can actually say. Now, of course, everyone, yes, speak to your doctor. We're not condoning or saying this is what you should take. This is what Leslie uses, and it works for her.
Right. So
okay.
I take a supplement called Resveratrol, and there's been a lot of studies about Resveratrol now, and it's the good part of red wine. Okay.
Okay.
you have to drink a whole lot of glasses of red wine to get the amount that you'll get in one resveratrol capsule. Resveratrol, they've been doing studies now that it's really one of the anti-aging supplements that you can take. One of the other supplements that I take is I really am big on B-complex. So I take really good grade vitamins. I don't go to the drugstore and buy the drugstore brands. I go to a proper health food store and I get the ones that are the most expensive, because I believe that those are the ones that have been researched and those are the ones that the homeopathic and naturopathic doctors will prescribe. So I take an advanced B-complex. I also take a lot of vitamin C. As a result, I don't get sick very often.
Okay.
And vitamin C in mega doses is also very, very good for elimination. So, again, with menopause, sometimes women will experience some constipation. So the vitamin C really, really helps really with elimination. I take grapeseed extract, and grapeseed extract is really, really good for your heart and for your cardiovascular. I also take something called CardioMag, which also is really, really good for your bones and for your skeletal system. Mm-hmm. And one of the other things that I also take is I also take a vitamin called K2. And, again, it's also about the cardiovascular. And I take a very, very good multivitamin. And the omega-3s, of course, always the omega-3s. And that's
now,
what I do.
Is that list, we've missed that, if we go to your website, is there a list of those vitamins that you recommend?
No, there's not.
Okay, so someone can get in touch with you and you can tell them.
Absolutely. They
all
can
that good stuff.
Me,
yeah.
And we can have a conversation.
Perfect. And when you talk about cardiovascular, is that, you know, I guess our insides and whatnot, we slow down a little bit, right? You know, we get a little bit more of the varicose veins. And so it's important to, yes, exercise, but will some of these supplements kind of help that?
Yes, they'll help with the circulation. But, you know, varicose veins is something that that you can be prone to because of your genetics. That's just a reality. Some people are very prone to varicose veins because of the genetic makeup, and other people never see a varicose vein in their life. It's like some people have cellulite and other people don't.
Yeah.
You know, and you can take an awful lot of supplements to try and eliminate the varicose veins, but the fact of the matter is that just because you have varicose veins, it doesn't mean that your circulation is 100% off.
Okay. I would like to bring on this one particular lady. She's from Stevens, Pennsylvania. She's 54 years old, and she has 10 grandchildren. And she warned me that we may not be able to speak for long because she's babysitting. I don't know how many today. Vicki, are you there?
I am here.
Hi. Welcome.
Hi.
Hi there.
10
Hi.
Grandchildren. My first.
Well, and the four that I have actually are very quiet right now. I'm outside, and the six-month-old is asleep, so I have a few minutes.
What a good and busy grandma.
Yeah, well, they catch me when I happen to be passing through, and that's not often, but, you know, I'm out on a humanitarian trip, and when I get the chance to stop home, I do.
That's
nice. Wonderful. So whereabouts are you in this stage of womanhood?
I call myself mid-menopausal, the crazy mid-menopausal grandma that's, you know, a cancer survivor and has survived a few other things. So, and I would say that it's been pretty easy for me. I do get the occasional hot flash, but I find that they're just more of a nuisance than anything.
What do you do anything? Do you use anything? Are you a lady who uses HRT?
Nothing like that. And that was my intent, was this is a natural phase of life, and I'm not going to take anything to change that. I mean, I feel like this is the way nature intended it, so I'm just going to go with the flow.
I'm impressed that, you know, I'm impressed that most of the women phoning in are just going with this, doing it the holistic way.
Yes,
I'm really surprised.
I'm really, well, I'm very, very pleased. I'm very happy about it because I really think that, you know, when you find your niche and you find what works for you, and I think that, you know, investigating the holistic way, really, it really is the answer because it's all about being whole. Isn't it about making yourself whole again? Because when women are experiencing menopause in a, let's say, with difficulty, they start to feel disjointed. So if you think about grasping a holistic approach to your menopausal state, every woman that's called in has done that. They are looking at their lives as being, this is not the end of the world. This is something that I can manage, and this is something that I can work with. Now, this is great because we have one demographic that's calling in, but there's a whole other demographic that's very, very huge that isn't finding it as easy as this.
Right, yeah. And now, is that the demographic that's finished menopause?
No, that's the demographic that's right in it. Like I say, I had a great deal of difficulty with menopause until I figured out what exactly was going on with my body and got on the right supplements and got with the exercise program and started to really do the work to get me through it because I did have difficulty with it.
Right. And now, Vicki, do you find, just going on the whole tangent, because there is a real stigma to women going through menopause, that we become bitchy and moody, you know, and the, you know, all of these stigmas. Has that happened to you? Have you felt that your emotions and whatnot get a little bit away from you?
You know, I don't really feel so much of that.
Yeah.
I know that there is that perception that, you know, oh, it's she's going through those changes, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
But I haven't actually had anyone even say that to me, that they've noticed that I'm going through the emotional stuff. But I tend to be a very upbeat person.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the way I de-stress or decompress is to find a way to make someone else smile every day, and I make sure I get my daily quota of hugs in, and, you know, I stay active. I figure if I'm going to have a hot flash, I might as well do something that makes me sweat, and then I won't notice.
Very cute.
Vicki, you're hilarious. Thank you so much for calling
nothing.
In. Go hug all those grandchildren of yours and say you ran a marathon when you start to sweat. Thanks for calling.
Uh-huh.
That's hilarious.
That's very
well, I want to ask you a little bit, Leslie. Tell us, you know, I'm sure that if we go to your website, you can help the ladies with regard to your menopause meditation. I'm fascinated by that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, on my website, there is some information about a meditation break. The meditation is something that is very specific to each individual because there are so many variations of it. So when I'm working with a client, it isn't just – nothing in life is just, you know, the same for everybody because each person is different. So some people respond differently to an exercise routine. Some people respond differently to eating certain foods. And it's the same thing with the meditation for menopause. So I really do an in-depth study with that individual about what they're going through, what are their symptoms, what does their life look like, what did their life look like before, how do they feel daily, when they wake up in the morning, is that the most difficult time, is the most difficult time during the day, is it more difficult for you at night, do you find that your sleep patterns are being played around with. So each individual has a specific different meditation that I give them for menopause because of what the stage that they're in and what they're going through at that specific time of their life.
Oh, so you
can't
you,
just, I can't yeah. just give a carte blanche meditation for menopause. It just doesn't
okay,
work
so
that way.
It's kind of built to suit what you're, you know, it's a cocktail for the individual.
Absolutely. And my whole practice is that way because I really feel that it's really, really important for the individual to get to know themselves during this process. And by getting to know themselves, then they know what it is that they need.
Just, right.
We're talking about, I mean, a lot of your callers today, you know, have cracked the code or they haven't had to crack the code because they haven't had to deal with much of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I will stress that there's so many women out there that are suffering.
Mm-hmm.
They really are. And
well,
they don't...
I have a friend of mine who is not going through this well at all.
Mm-hmm.
And she has this little fan that she brings everywhere with her, and she fans herself furiously as the sweat pours down. And my heart hurts for her
It's
because she's fighting it, and she hates it, and she's angry.
Right. And that's the woman. That's the woman who needs a menopause coach. That's the woman who really needs to be able to have somebody who's totally non-judgmental, who has been there, who understands it, who's been in that same place, that has suffered, and I did suffer before I figured out what to do. And again, it just wasn't just I snapped my fingers and all of a sudden things started to change. It was a process of change. But when I cracked the code and I started to see the subtle changes, it was like a whole new world for me. I came out of the darkness into the light, and it really was a revelation. So I commend the women that are having an easy time with it, but my heart goes out to the women that are actually sitting there right now listening to this show and going, well, that's great for you, caller, but, you know, I'm really suffering through this, and I don't know what to do with it, because it's every day. Every day is a new day, and I feel like I'm crawling out of my skin, and that is what women who are suffering through this, who don't have the tools, feel like. They feel like they're actually crawling out of their skin some days.
Yeah, and I can certainly relate to that, and I'll share a quick my own personal story. I didn't get the luxury of going through the perimenopausal, the premenopausal. At 47, I had cancer at 18, cervical cancer, and then I again, it went away, so to speak, and then I got cancer again at 47. And I had a large tumor removed, and unfortunately, I had to have everything removed. And so I went from a quite jolly good life, enjoying no sweats, no nothing, wondering what that might be like, to waking up a week after the operation in full throes of menopause.
Absolutely.
And I will tell you, I was an angry, angry woman.
Mm-hmm.
I had always been very fit, very muscular.
Mm-hmm.
I had a flat tummy. I was a newlywed with a young husband. And here I was lying in bed at night, absolutely, like wondering, what is this? I'm soaking from head to toe.
Mm-hmm.
I would be speaking with someone at a speaking engagement and as you said, just start to sweat.
Mm-hmm.
And I hated every moment, and I was angry. And I, you know, it took, as you say, it's a process.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm 53, and I figured out some of the things. But it took people like you to get me through it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that I would have gotten through if I hadn't met, and unfortunately I hadn't met you, Leslie, because I would have been signing up over to you.
Thank you.
Because I think you're absolutely amazing. But I did find a coach, and I did find someone that said, you know, you're going to go to the gym. You can get back to what your normal is. And when you say climbing out of your skin, that's exactly what it feels like, that you are on the outside looking in, wondering, where did I go? I was attractive one minute, and now I feel horrible.
You know, and it's frightening. It can be a very frightening time for women that haven't that don't have somebody to talk to, or don't have someone to help and guide them, or that they can trust and to give them proper information. It is it's almost an emotional thing for me, because I can't even express the joy that I get from helping the women that I'm helping, but I also, when I think about where I was and how I had to deal with it, and that there was nothing out there that was available to help me, and that I had to really go the ropes alone, it was a very, very troubling and sad time in my life.
Well, sure, because think about it. 20 years ago, like you said, where did people go?
Exactly. They went nowhere.
They went
to a doctor and got the HRT if they wanted to, and then made themselves susceptible, as I feel, to heart attack, which was the, I'm talking about the traditional. I'm not talking about hormone replacement. I'm talking about the traditional hormone replacement.
Mm-hmm.
But and they did studies that was part of what was going to be going on, and they would warn people and say that. But there was really nothing out there. And again, when I reflect back on those days, and I remember them vividly, and I remember the mood swings, and I remember the forgetfulness, and I remember walking out of a restaurant holding a cylinder of sugar like a kleptomaniac, because I forgot it was even in my hand.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've been talking to somebody and walked out of a restaurant holding something from that restaurant, saw it in my hand and took it back. It was like I had this mind that just wasn't even functioning until I started to do the work. And, again, I'm not going to tell people that, you know, again, you don't snap your fingers and all of a sudden you become non-menopausal. You're still menopausal while you're doing the work.
Mm-hmm.
You're just in charge. The
right. You're handling your menopause.
Right. The menopause is not in charge.
Right.
You're in charge.
Right.
And when you're in charge of any aspect of your life, what is that? That's empowerment.
Right.
What is that? That's happiness. What is that? That's joy. What is that? That's about being present in your life and not allowing yourself to be run around and guided by things that people say, well, just sit back and let it happen, and, you know, you'll just get through it and everything will be fine. Well, you know what? You got to do the work in anything that you really want bad enough. And if you want to work with anti-aging and you don't want to come out the other side of menopause and be old, then you have to do the work.
Yeah. And I, like you say, I love that, being in charge. When I remember when I was leaving the hospital, my young doctor came over to me and said, yeah, well, you're doing fine, great, great, handed me a box of HRT and said, just put this on every day and you're good to go.
Mm-hmm.
That'll make everything okie-dokie. I went home, looked up the ingredients, and it said could cause breast cancer. Well,
mm-hmm.
I just had cancer.
Yeah, right.
I wasn't really keen on getting a new one,
mm-hmm.
right? And having that done, I thought, oh, great, now I'll lose my breast. I'm going to feel really good now.
Yeah.
So I threw that away and started to go through it all, went to my doctor not too long after, you know, my GP, and again, a 37-year-old gentleman.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I'm gaining weight. I'm not feeling really well. He said, are you taking the HRT? I said, no, I don't want to take that. And he said, oh, my dear. Oh, my dear, he said. He's 37 years old. Oh, my
mm-hmm.
dear, he said. You know, this is all part of life. And basically, you know, just if you take that, at least you'll feel a little bit better. And, you know, I felt as though he patted me on the head and off I went with my prescription for an antidepressant.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I said, no, you know, that's not going to work for me. Yes, I'm depressed, but I'm supposed to be depressed. I've
mm-hmm.
just had a hysterectomy.
Right.
Of course I'm depressed. That's a natural feeling. Why?
Absolutely.
Don't take that away from me, but help me get where I need to go. Don't pat me on the head. Tell me I'm going to be fat, accept it,
mm-hmm.
and send me on my way.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, empowering yourself, I said no to that doctor.
Absolutely.
And that's what women do, not just accept the fact that they're literally saying, is what it is. Right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's a huge subject, and it's a huge journey, and it doesn't have to be a really hard journey once you get with a program and once you know what your day looks like and how you're going to live your day and how you're going to work through the challenges, because it does change. I mean, I remember I thought that this whole thing was over. I hadn't had my period for, 9-10 months. I said, oh, wow, I'm done with this, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I had what's called a flash flood. Do you know what a flash flood is?
No.
Well, what a flash flood is, all of a sudden you get a period that you think you've got 10 periods all into one, because you're sitting there and you have no cramps, you have nothing. All of sudden there's wet and you're covered in blood. You think you're hemorrhaging, there's so much blood. It's what's called flash flooding, and it happens through menopause when women think that they're almost finished it, and the body just goes, well, we just need to get rid of a little bit more of this stuff, and boom, out it comes. And this,
I've never heard of that, but see, I would never have that, right? I wouldn't experience it.
No, you wouldn't have had that, no.
No.
And the first time that I saw it happen was with a girlfriend of mine that was quite a bit older than me, and we were at in my backyard, and she was wearing white, and she looked at me, we were talking, and she looked at me and said to me, I need to go in the house. And I said, what's the matter? She said, when I stand up, you're going to see. And, of course, there was a big mess, and she said, this is called flash flooding. And I went, oh, my God. And I was 10 years younger than her, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, it was like, this was an eye-opener for me, and I experienced exactly the same thing. Thank goodness it didn't happen while I was standing on stage sweating anyway. Can you imagine? Wouldn't have that just been a scene?
Well, you know what, I you certainly would have been able to have, you know, I mean, that would be like your water breaking when you're, you know,
exactly.
younger.
Exactly.
Right? That's what we worried about. It never ends, does it, our worry?
No.
We're pregnant, we're worried our water's going to break if we're out shopping. And then we're menopausal and we're worried that we're going to have a flash flood.
Right.
What is that? God is hilarious. That's what I think. He is hilarious that he does these things to us. We've only got about 4 minutes. I've got another caller on the line. Who's there? Hello? You're on air.
Dr. Nancy Irwin.
Nancy?
Hi,
Kate. Hi, Nancy. Is that Dr. Nancy?
Yes, it is. I've been listening to the show, and what wonderful contributions from all of these women.
Well, Nancy's calling us from Los Angeles. Thank you, Nancy. I know you were kind of, I was trying to look for you, and you're on a different line. I know you're kind of putting us in there between patients and whatnot. So, how old are you, Nancy?
I just turned 57.
Okay. So you're a doctor, and you're going through all of this, too?
Doctor of psychology.
Doctor of psychology.
I've been going through menopause, probably 10 years now.
Okay.
So on bioidenticals through an integrative medical doctor.
Mm-hmm.
I've been very happy with it. It's very closely monitored. I do still have a few minor hot flashes, but here's my take on it.
Okay.
Like a lot of the other women who've called in, I'm fascinated by it. It is a natural process, and I try to look at what is the evolutionary purpose of this.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't quite figured that out, but look, the Native Americans had a process. I'm sure people are familiar with the sweat lodges. Look at
sweat lodges.
Yoga.
Sweat
yes,
lodges.
Native
sweat
Americans
lodges.
And sweat lodges.
Okay.
And also Bikram yoga. So there are people who stimulate exactly what we're going through.
Really?
Is a divine, there is a purpose for that, and that's to release the mundane, judgment, self-criticism, and get to the core and get to the system. So
okay.
Why not allow nature to give that to us?
Yeah.
There's a great book, just to substantiate what you're talking about, Nancy, there's a great book that I read years and years ago. A woman's name is Lynn Andrews. And
uh-huh.
she wrote a lot of books, but one of the ones that she wrote was on menopause, and it's called Woman at the Edge of Two Worlds. And it's a spiritual journey through menopause. It's by Lynn V. Andrews, and it's a phenomenal book, and it really helps women to understand that this really is a journey into higher wisdom, of which we spoke about at the beginning of the show.
Yeah.
It really doesn't have to be a thing of a curse. It really is a journey of higher wisdom through the menopausal years.
It's not devastating. And when you look at it at every age, I believe there's a special beauty at every age.
Absolutely.
There's also a necessary awkwardness at every age.
Mm-hmm.
Toddlers are adorable, but they're frustrated because they're learning motor skills. Teenagers, let that go. And 20, you're frustrated with trying to establish yourself in the world, even though sexually and physically maybe you're at your quote-unquote peak as a
Oh, sorry, Nancy. We lost her. It was a bit crazy over there. Sorry, Nancy, if you're still on air, I lost you, my friend.
I think she's on a car phone or something.
Yeah, but some really fascinating.
Absolutely.
Tell us about that book again. What's it called?
Okay, it's called Woman at the Edge of Two Worlds. I mean,
yep.
It's an old book. It goes back into the 90s, right? I'm just looking at it right now, trying to find when this print was. It was 1994.
Okay.
Published in 1994. It's called Woman at the Edge of Two Worlds, The Spiritual Journey Through Menopause. It's by Lynn, L-Y-N-N, V like in Victor, Andrews, A-N-D-R-E-W-S. And you can search her online, and you can probably maybe request. I think her daughter is now looking after her business.
Okay.
Because the woman's got to be now. I read this book in 94. She's got to be in her 70s or close to her 80s by now. Phenomenal woman, and this is a book that I would highly recommend.
Highly
to
recommend that
anyone who's going through menopause.
I'm sorry, my darling, we've got like 30 seconds. Give
okay.
us your website again.
It's sexyover60.com. S-I-X-T-Y. 60.
Go there and make sure you sign up for Leslie's newsletter. What a great show. Thank you so much, Leslie, for coming on. We're going to have to have you come back. I didn't get to all the people on, and I know they want to talk to you some more. So my heartfelt thanks for being a guest today.
And thank you, Katie, for having me on. I really appreciate it, and I hope that we help somebody out there.
I know. I'm positive we did.
Oh,
thank
good.
You so much again, everyone, for listening. Join us next week on Get Focused Radio with my guest Connie Bird, an award-winning sales professional with a lifelong commitment to personal and professional growth. Her book, Life is Sales, it can change your life and get you what you want. On behalf of my guest, Leslie Trail, who's awesome, and myself, Kate Hennessy, we wish you an amazing day. To all my ageless, beautiful call-ins, thank you so much. If I didn't get to you, I promise we're going to have Leslie on again, and we will have another great chat. Have an absolutely amazing day, everyone, and go eat some protein.
Sunlight to guide you, words to write.